Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
I'm the one to blame. Come to worship this morning, we share out of three texts, one out of Matthew, one out of Luke, and one out of John. Three different settings, but all three of which remind us and put Jesus in a position where he is either receiving support or offering support for others. And so we turn first to Matthew 26, beginning with verses 36 through 39. Jesus has been in the upper room with the disciples, and He has sent Judas away, and now he has left the upper room and made his way up into the hills of Jerusalem, up into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he takes with him James and John and Peter, and tells them to be with him, stay with him. And so we hear these words from Matthew. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even unto death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." And then we turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 27. Jesus has been prosecuted and had been found guilty of nothing, really, but they come up with trumped-up charges, and so he's making his way to Golgotha. And as they're making their way, he has been tortured and whipped and is bruised and bleeding, and yet underneath all of that carries the full weight of the cross upon his shoulders. So we read these words. And as they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country. And they laid the cross upon him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of people followed him, and among them were women who were beating their breasts and wailing for Jesus. And then from John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. And this is the word of God for the people of God. But I want to remind us of where we've been. We started out with Ash Wednesday, and we talked about the discipline of the cross. If we looked at Ash Wednesday and ourselves in terms of our sinful nature and the fact that Jesus, God, applied discipline in the garden. And then we talked about self-denial and obedience and our need to be obedient to Christ and to be willing to give up something of ourselves and be willing to deny ourselves in order to be followers of Christ. The cross of shame, the fact that we all live with those places in our life that we find shame in and we find embarrassment and we find humiliation in. And yet Jesus, even though he was without sin, took on that shame for each one of us and went to the cross on our behalf. And then we talked about reconciliation, the need to reconcile ourselves not just to God, but perhaps to one another as well in this time. And then last week we talked about bridging the gap, the fact that Jesus bridges the gap of sin and death, stands in between us and death in order that we might have life and have it eternal, and that we, like that, also need to stand in the gap for others and be the priesthood of believers who makes the way for others to find their way to the cross. Now, this morning we talk about the cross of support, if you will. What does that look like? When we think of support, we're reminded, I think, of Jesus' last action with the disciples, where he asks for support. He takes Peter and James and John, who he's just told, "Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to give up on me. You're going to turn your back against me." Yet he takes Peter and James and John into the garden. Now, they wouldn't be real good support, as it turns out, if you remember the story. He takes them into the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says, "Sit here while I go over to pray." And you remember they had been in the upper room. They'd had their Passover meal, which traditionally takes about 3 or 4 hours to complete in its entirety. And of course, they'd been drinking wine and eating and sharing together and were probably very tired because, again, if you remember in John, Jesus talks to them very seriously for nearly 3 chapters. We don't know how long it actually took him to say all those words, but must have been a long time over that period of time. So he takes them into the garden. He asks them, "Sit here, stay with me while I go pray." Well, they went, and they were there, and they waited. You remember what happened. Their humanity, unfortunately, took over because they went to sleep. And he comes back not once, not twice, but 3 times and says, "What is it? Can you not stay awake with me while I'm here in the garden. But he goes to one higher source than that, because he goes over away from them and kneels down and prays to God the Father. And we see not only the humanity of the disciples in that prayer, but we see the humanity of Jesus in that prayer, because Jesus says to his very own Father, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. This is not going to be fun. This is not going to be happy. This is not going to go well. And if it's possible, don't make me do this. But yet, because he knew it was not in his hands to call the shot. But it's not about me, it's about you. Not about me, it's about you. And how many times have we gone to God and said, take this, you know. And we really haven't said, but if it be your will, because we want things to be our way, and we want it to be sometimes about us. And Jesus knew that it wasn't about him, it was about what God needed to do. God needed to repair and to fix all that had happened in Israel, all that had happened over time, and figure out how to make the humanity that he had created into a better situation. And so we knew the way to do that was to bring Jesus into the world, and that Jesus would have to go out in a very violent way. So Jesus calls not only on the support of his human friends, but he calls on the support of God the Father. I don't want to do this, but if you want it done, then I'll do it. Knowing all the time that God was going to finish it that way. Because he was, after all, he was God. He was God. There was no other way but for God to do what had to be done. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, do we know when and how to ask for support? Do we know what the right kind of support is when we need it? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just keep trucking on and doing our own thing and taking care of it ourselves when we really need to reach out and say, can you help me with this? And not only ask human friends to help us, but we need to be willing to ask God. And sometimes we mess up there. We don't always ask God when we should, because we think we can take care of it. We think we can do it. But if we know better, we know that Jesus will take care of it. Well, then there's Simon of Cyrene, who didn't ask to be helped, didn't ask to be part of the support group. He was coming to Jerusalem. He was the father of Rufus and Alexander that we read about in Paul's writing. Comes to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Innocently enough there, as Jesus happens by on the way to Golgotha, and you didn't say no to a Roman soldier. Or it might be your death you were dealing with. And writers tell us that probably what happened is that the Roman soldier came up and laid the flat iron of his sword down on his shoulder and said, you take up the cross. Help this man. Now, that in and of itself is an act of humanity and an act of realizing that this man that they have just practically tortured and is on the near edge of death needs some help. You know, if you remember your Hollywood picture film days, that Jesus by this time is pretty near under the end and he's pretty well tortured, has fallen at least once or twice by this time and is just about done, is about finished, if you will. And so Simon gets that tap on the top of his shoulder. You there, take up the cross. I don't know about you, but I'm guessing that if I'd have been that Simon and a Roman soldier on a horse, looking back at me, I don't know that I'd have had the wherewithal to say, no, I'm not going to do that. We don't know if Simon had any much understanding about Jesus. We probably know that he knew who Jesus was, but he wasn't yet a follower of Jesus. And so perhaps begrudgingly, he takes up the order to support Jesus. So how would we respond? Hopefully we have an answer in the affirmative. That if we had been tapped on the shoulder with a spear, we would have said, on the double, I'll be right there. But sometimes, if it were somebody else, and we were asked to carry their cross, do we respond by being willing to walk in their shoes? Or are we too busy to take up that cross at that particular moment? Is there something else going on? Something about that individual we're not sure about? I'm not sure if I want to get involved. I'm not sure if I want to get in the midst of that situation. But that's what Jesus does. Jesus asks us as Christians to take up our cross daily and to follow after him. And it doesn't say, take up the cross of those that you like and take up those that you're not, that you love, and take up the cross of those that are special to you and those that you know the circumstances. It just says, take up your cross daily. We read the verse last week out of John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, or everyone, I like the word everyone better, because whoever kind of leaves it out there to, we can part and parcel that, but everyone says everybody, so that everybody might be saved and would not perish. So everybody is called to take up our cross, and we're invited to walk along with those who are also carrying a cross. You know, and it's interesting, I did some looking, and, you know, again, Hollywood tells us, and we see all kinds of pictures, that Jesus carried the whole cross. And I was looking at that when I was preparing the sermon. You know, all the criminals that go up to the cross with Jesus, they only carry the cross part. They don't carry the cross again that goes across the shoulders. Jesus was forced to carry the entire cross. Would it have made a difference for us if he had only carried just the crossbeam? Would the weight of your sin been a little different had he only carried just the horizontal piece as opposed to the upright and the vertical? I think for me it has more bearing when I think about him taking up the whole thing. Because if he takes up just part of it, well, that says, I'm not maybe quite as bad as I think. Puts a little different light on it, doesn't it, when you think about it that way. But he takes up the whole cross. When we think about it in the whole complex nature of the whole cross, it says, this is all of it. He took up the cross for every part of us, for all of us, for everything in my life that is messed up and fouled up, and took all of that upon himself. So we're invited to walk alongside others who are carrying their cross, their entire cross, and hopefully we would walk along with them and take up theirs as well. How are we doing at taking up the cause of Christ and supporting Jesus' call to be his disciple? Probably some days we'd say, I'm doing pretty good today. But there'd be others we'd say, I didn't do such a hot job today. I didn't quite make it today. I didn't quite measure up today. The nice part of that is we can start over the next day. That day's gone, we can start over and we can start afresh. There once used to be a marquee about this time of the year. It would say, if they were going to convict you for the cause of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would the world know that you're a Christian by how you live, by how you carry your cross, by how you manage your life on a day-to-day basis? Hopefully so. Well, moving from taking up our cross, let's go to Jesus' mother. Jesus provides support for Mary. Remember back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. It really wasn't the beginning. He hadn't yet selected his disciples. He hadn't yet really begun public ministry. But they go to a wedding. How many of us, we all like to go to weddings? And they're at the wedding and they run out of wine. And Mary says to the steward, she says, do what he tells you to do. And he says to her, woman. He doesn't say mother. He doesn't say Mary. He doesn't say lady. He says, woman. What concern of this is of yours? Why does this matter to you? Probably because she knew what Jesus was capable of. You know, there's a lot of life in Jesus that we don't have any knowledge of. We don't have any knowledge about what happened from the time they went to the temple and had him named until the time we get to his public ministry beginning. Don't you wonder what it must have been like to be the mother of the earthly Son of God? What kind of things she must have seen and experienced to know that this wasn't just any ordinary child. And so she probably knows that he could do something about that lack of wine at the wedding. And so she tells the steward, do whatever he tells you to do. And Jesus' response was, woman, you know, what does this have to do with me? And so then as we cast forward the story of Jesus' life, we're now at the base of the foot of the cross, and Mary Magdalene and Mary of Clopas' wife and another woman who's unidentified. Jesus sees Mary standing at the foot of the cross along with John, his beloved disciple. He says to her, woman, behold your son, and son, behold your mother. An invitation of support of them for one another, but also a reminder to us of what the life of Jesus was going to be throughout his life, throughout his ministry. But yet another call to John and to us about what would happen going forward. We're called to support the cause of Christ by living lives of self-denial, following close to Christ, reconciling Christ to others and to ourselves. You see, the cross has an important meaning for us. That vertical beam that's there is a reminder to us of God's relationship to us, his love, his presence coming from heaven down to us in that vertical beam, and God wanting to be in relationship with us. And then that cross beam, God's arms reaching out, stretched out on that cross, reaching out to us as well as us reaching out to others, reminding us of God's love for you and I, and God's desire to reconcile us to one another and to carry out that example that Jesus set for them in the upper room as he washed their feet and taught them how to be disciples, taught them what he expected of them, not only in that day, but in the days to come. In 1 Peter 5, we read these words, "And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. I pray for you that your life, after times of struggle, that you can give witness to the fact that Jesus has indeed restored, supported, strengthened, and continues to establish you in your journey of faith and discipleship. Amen.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org. You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.